This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, welcome everyone. Welcome back to those who are joining us again after the Yom Tov. And Parshas Lech Lecha, tonight we're going to do a fascinating subject. The subject of a almost unknown individual whose name actually does not appear anywhere in the Tanakh. And let's begin with the beginning of the parasha. So Amram Avinu is 75 years old, and the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to him, and he tells him, Lech Lecha, go out, leave your homeland. Chaim Volozhiner writes in Pirkei Avos, if ever a Jew has a tshuka to suddenly pick up and go to Eretz Yisrael, it comes from the fact that Avraham Avinu implanted this desire into the DNA, the spiritual DNA of the Yid. So Avraham Avinu picks himself up, and we encounter something very interesting. Vayavar Avram ba'aretz ad mekayim shechem ad Eloin Moira. Avram passed through the land. Where? Until the place of Shechem. Now, you go to most people who were in Eretz Yisrael for Sukkos, and you ask them, what was your first stop? I don't know, most people, their first stop, maybe the Kaisal HaMaravi, or maybe Al Ha'esh, you know, well, they picked up something to eat. But I don't even know if Shechem is on the itinerary. That might be for security reasons. I think you can make arrangements and go to Shechem. That's a place I haven't been. I would like to go there, you know. But interesting, Avraham Avinu's first stop should be Shechem. That's a rather odd first stop. You would think he went to Shar HaShemayim, he went to Yerushalayim, Chevron, Tzfas, Tveria, Chveis, you know, one of the holy cities. Shechem? Why does he go to Shechem? Says Rashi, L'hispalel al bnei Yaakov, to pray for the sons of Yaakov, k'sheyavoyu lehilachem l'Shechem, when they come to wage war against Shechem. And by the way, Rashi teaches Eloin Moira is also Shechem. And he was shown the place of Har Gerizim and Har Eval. But bottom line is, it still should trouble a person. Why would Avraham Avinu's first stop be Shechem? Like, this is the most critical. Avraham Avinu has never been to Eretz Yisrael. So why Shechem? Why is this his first stop? So we come to a very interesting Gemara, the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Tzadik Aleph, Amid Aleph. The Gemara gives us a list of people whose names do not appear in the Tanakh. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Chanan Barava Amarav. Imei d'Avraham. What was the name of the mother of Avraham?
Amtalia.
That was a rhetorical question, but I'm glad that you know.
Bat Kol Nevo.
Says the Gemara, Amaslai Bas Carnival. Surprisingly, you would think this wouldn't be known, but people know this. Somebody told me today, I was giving a share in the morning, and somebody said their mother, 80 years ago, would say over, the mother of Avraham Avinu is Amasloi Bas Carnival. Okay, that's her name. Why do I need to know that's her name? Why is that her name? What kind of name is that? What were her parents thinking? These are all questions we have to adjust. What kind of name is Amasloi Bas Carnival?
What follows next?
Ime de Haman, the mother of Haman. This nobody knows.
Who wants to know that?
Amasloi Bas Urvasi. Also, Nachag is also, the name was Amasloi.
Who wants to know that? What's important about that?
Yeah, I want to know that. Amasloi Bas Urvasi. It's interesting. You have two people. Avraham. Avraham's mother is Amasloi. Haman. Haman's mother is Amasloi. Says the Gemara of a Simanach, the way to remember is, how do you know which one is Bas Karnavai, which one is Bas Urvasi? The way to remember it is, Tamei, Tamei, Tahar, Tahar. It depends which one is Tamei. If you come from the name which is Tamei, you're Tamei. If you come from a name which is Tahar, you're Tahar. And that is Karnavai, is a Lashon Rashi says, of Karim, fattened sheep. And therefore, fattened sheep are very kosher. You know, lamb chops, it's good meat. So if your mother, if your grandmother, if you're an Amasloi, Bas, lamb chops, Bas Karnavai, so then you're kosher. So the Avraham Avinu was kosher. But if you're Amasloi, Bas Urvasi, if you're Amasloi, the daughter of the raven, then you're a treif. Fine. The Gemara continues. Ime de David, the mother of David, Nitzavas Bas Adoel. Nitzavas, the daughter of Adoel. Okay. Shema. Ime de Shimshain, the mother of Shimshain. Tzila Lefinus. Say that 10 times. Yeah? Tzila Lefinus. By the way, Va'achte Nashyan. And his sister's name was Nashyan. So now the Gemara asks the $1 million question. L'may Nafkamin. Who cares? Who cares what Avram Avinu's mother's name was? Who cares what Haman's mother's name was? Who cares what David's mother's name was? Who cares what Shimshon's mother? And even more troubling now, why are we saying Shimshon's sister? Says the Gemara, L'tshuvas haminim, to be able to respond to Api Karsim. Because you know that when you're in the boxing ring with the min, the first question they're going to fire at you is, what was Avram Avinu's name? And you better be prepared. So this way you'll be able to whip out of your pocket, Amasloi bas karma. Then they say, really? So what was Haman's mother's name? And then you're going to be able to say also, Oichet Amasloi bas Urvasi. Then you're going to say, well, what was David? So Rashi explains, we know Yitzchak's mother's name, we know Yaakov's mother's name, we know the Imahis' mother's names. So why is it that we don't know the mother of Avram Avinu? So here the Gemara is providing us with this answer. And another question, Rashi says the mother of Haman was just brought in, Agavurcha. And why don't we know the mother of David? We know the mother of all the other Malachim. Why don't we know David's mother? So the Gemara is supplying us with the answer. And Shimshon, you know, the Navi speaks at length about Shimshon's father, Shimshon's mother. Why don't we know her name? We know her name. Her name is Tzalalafinus. And why do we have to know Shimshon's sister? Agav Orcha. Which is also a little bit difficult because we don't say Avram Avinu's sister or Haman's sister. You know, wouldn't you want to know what was Haman? Who was the baby sister that Haman fought with when he was younger? No, the Gemara doesn't give us that information. By the way, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, just as an aside, nothing to do with today's shir, has a wondrous explanation on this Gemara, and that is, many of these individuals mentioned here are historic figures, or the most historic figures in Klal Yisrael, be it Rosh Umasenu, Avram Avinu, or be it Melech Mashiach, David HaMelech, or be it Shimshon, who is Kadosh Merechem, and you may make the mistake, or the Minim would make the mistake. You see, you have a question on us, how we believe in the Yoizel was born from the Immaculate Conception. You also have the same thing in your religion. You know why? You don't know who Avram's mother was. He was also immaculately conceived. And Shimshon also was, you know, the woman couldn't get pregnant her whole life, and an angel comes down from heaven. Who do you think impregnated the woman? Must have been an angel. She was not a... This was not a natural birth. You don't even know the mother's name. So therefore, the Gemara specifically wants to tell us to respond to the Minim. These people had a mother of flesh and blood. They were born of Basar Vadam. That's how Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky learns this particular Gemara. But we're going to explain it Kepshutai tonight. Rashi learns the Tshuvas HaMinim, that the Minim are going to ask us, why don't we know the names of the mothers of these historic figures? And we'll be able to answer them. Look in the Ravid on Bava Basra, number 5. The Ravid says that the Minim are going to ask us, why don't we know the names of these people? And we'll be able to respond, we do know them. They're not recorded, they're not written. We know them based on Nevuah. Rabbeinu Gershon writes, Rabbeinu Gershon on Masechta Bava Basra says, it's to teach us that nothing is beyond the purview of the Chachamim. All the Chachmei Hashas know everything. They even know the names of Avram's mother, of David's mother, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Soid Hashem Lireyav, God teaches His secret to those who fear Him. The Shita Mekubetzes also says, and understands that this Gemara is one of the sources of the veracity of the Tarshah Baal Peh. Because when we talk about the Minim over here, what kind of Minim we're talking about? We're talking about Minim who challenge the authenticity of the Tarshah Baal Peh. They say, you know, whatever is in the written law, that's Emes Lamitai, but how do we know that the oral law is true? So they ask us, what's the name of Avraham's mother? So we tell them the name, Amasloi Bas Karnavai. They said, how do you know that? We say, just like we know everything, we have an oral tradition. And the same way, you're going to have to accept that this is our oral tradition regarding the mother of Avram Avinu and David HaMelech and Shimshon HaGibar, except the other oral traditions that we have. Okay. Comes the Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem says that there's another interesting and important reason to know the name of Avram Avinu's mother. And that is, there's a concept of mazalos. That even though in Ma'id Katan it says, Ein mazal Yisrael, but actually it doesn't say that. It says, Bane chaye umezoine lav bezchusa talya milsa ela b'mazla. A person's family, a person's life a person's food and parnasa is not dependent on your schus, it's dependent on your mazel. You're born in a good mazel, think you'll have a good life. You're born in a bad mazel, things will be bad. Tosus asks, what do you mean, ein mazel Yisrael? So Tosus says, no, a person's life is definitely affected by the mazel that they're born, but with a zchus gedoyla, you could overcome it. That's Tosus. So even though we like to say ein mazel Yisrael, it's not really true. We are affected by mazalos, but we could change it. We could overcome it. Even Avraham Avinu was affected by his mazel. Ribbono Shel Olam took him out. Say may it stag nisa shalom. Now, today's shiur is called be a mikubal in your own home. Okay, it's like try it at home Kabbalah. One of those things, you know. Now the truth is, don't try this at home. I'm just joking. But the first, you know, and look, if you get good at it, you might be able to do it as you might be able to moonlight as a mekubal on the side. You never know how successful you'll get at this. So the first thing we want to know, I remember they once had this Jewish program, and they had some kind of like so-called mekubal on the, you know, answering phone calls, and they had these innocent children, these from kids from Borough Park calling up, you know, and they wanted to know what life has in store for them. So they would say their birthday, and on the other end, you could hear like this book flipping. Wow. Oh, you're born on Yud Aleph Shvat. You hear like this book flipping, and Yud Aleph Shvat, and he would say you're gonna. But the poor little girl said Yud Gimel Shvat. So he told him a whole prediction and said no Yud Gimel. Oh, Yud Gimel Shvat. And then the book flips back. Okay, but that's what we're gonna do tonight. How do you figure out what mazel you're born under? So it says the Baal Shem, it's all based on your name. And it's based on your mother's name. You can't just figure it out based on your own name. You have to figure it out based on your mother's name. So therefore, we need to know. Avram Avinu, what was his mazel? Haman, what was his mazel? And by the way, we know Avram's mazel was tzedek, the Gemara says. Haman, on the other hand, Haman's mazel was madim. You know, there's seven different mazels you could be born under. And the Gemara even says that your mazel will affect what you do for a living. You know, if you're born under madim, you're going to kill people. So either, the Gemara says, you're going to become a butcher, or a mayal, or a rabbi, the Gemara says. The Gemara says that, right? Because Rabbanan also, Rav Aaron Cutler says that the reason why he would have to go fundraising all over the world is sometimes somebody who gives shiurim publicly, somebody asks a question, you give an answer, and they might be embarrassed, so you killed somebody b'shoigeg. So he would say he had to go collecting, that was his galus. Okay, but be it as it may, the Gemara says David HaMelech is born under Mazel Madim. Now, there's a Perush.
What is Madim?
Madim is Mars. Tzedek. What is that?
Neptune.
Not sure. Again, this is not. I'm a pulpit rabbi. I'm not a sidekick. I'm not a Mekubal. You have to ask a Mekubal, you know? I'm just reporting a few tidbits of information that I happen to have seen. But I don't do this on the side. You know? I do umnus nekiya v'kala. I give a few shurim.
What's July 8th?
What? July? I need a Hebrew date, you know? Okay, so Rav Sadia Goin. Okay, Rav Sadia Goin. I don't know, I see a lot of good friends here tonight. I'm in a happy mood. Rav Sadia Goin, in his commentary to the Sefer Yetzirah, he says, if you want to know your mazel, he says like this. You figure out your name. You add up your gematria. So, I don't know, my gematria, whatever it is. Okay? So you figure out your name, and you add your mother's name, and you divide it by seven. And the remainder, you'll be able to figure out your mazel. You have seven choices. Shabtoi, Tzedek, Madim, Chama, Noiga, Koichav, Levana. You could be Saturn, you could be Mars, you could be the moon, you could be the stars, you could be whatever it is, you could be. So says Rav Sadia Goin, if your gematria of your name and your mother's name is divisible by seven, so you know that you're a moon guy. If there's a remainder of two, you're a tzedek guy. Avraham Avinu bas ben Amasloi, he is tzedek. Haman is a madim, but says the Sefer. The Sefer Ine Yitzchak, this is quoted by Rabbi Chil Michel Stern in his Sefer Oitzar HaYedios. Chil Michel Stern, I believe, is the Rav, the Mardas of Ezra's Torah. So he says that we need to know the mother of Avraham Avinu. We need to know the mother of Haman. Because if we don't know their mother, and we just take Avraham's name by itself, we just take Haman's name by itself, so then they both are at the same mazel. They would both come out, it would seem that they both have the same mazel. They both are divisible by seven. However, now that we add Amasloi to Avraham and Amasloi to Haman, so I don't get the whole thing, because how does it help to get add Amasloi to both? They both have the exact same mother's name. So I'm not exactly sure what he's saying. But again, now that you have the information, you talk to your people to explain to you exactly what this means. Just explaining, this is how the Ene Yitzchak, based on Rav Sadia Goin, explains this Gemara in Baba Basra, why we need to know the names of the mother of Avraham and the mother of Haman. Comes Heilig Chassam Sofer. And the Chassam Sofer explains also a deeper meaning of what is the response to the Apikarsim. The Apikarsim want to know why, what is Avraham Avinu's mother's name, and we need to know this to respond to the Apikarsim. Why exactly do we need to know this? Says the Chassam Sofer, a big question that the Minim ask us, the big question that the Apikarsim ask us is, you know, there's a lot of extra information in the Torah, most notably the mother of Amalek. Anybody know who's the mother of Amalek?
Timna.
Ba'achos loitan Timna. So the Apikarsim, you know how it is. You're walking down the street, and this guy, he has a sign on him, Apikaris, that guy. He comes to you, and he says, why does it say Amalek's mother's name in the Torah? Who cares? Achos loitan Timna. It's useless information. So you know how we respond to them? We say, Reb Apikaris, I have something to tell you. You think that's useless? What do you think the Torah should have wrote more? The name of Amalek's mother, the name of Avraham's mother. So the Apikiris, he's not a Shoita, he's just an Apikiris. You have to be a Chacham to be now. You can't just, you're not eligible to be Apikiris if you're a fool. You have to be something to be an Apikiris. They used to say, the Rebbe say, nowadays nobody's nothing. Everybody, nowadays when it snows, it snows 6 inches. And when it's hot, it's like 90 degrees. It used to be in Amaldik at Saitin when it was hot, it was 130 degrees. And when it was cold, it would snow like 4 feet. There are no tzaddikim, there are no rishayim. It used to be in the olden days, you had real rishayim, real apikarsim. If you have a real apikars could be something one day. A fake, nowadays everyone's parav. Everyone just goes with it. Nah, only a real apikars. That's why, by the way, in Navardik they would say that Rivka was pregnant, and she didn't know. She didn't know what was going on. When she passed by the shuls, so the kid was kicking to come out. When she passed by the houses of Avodah Zarah, the kid was kicking to come out. So she does. She's all distressed. What's going to be with this kid? So she goes to Yeshiva Shem Be'ever. So, oh, you know what they say? Don't worry! You're going to have the God of Adar, and you're going to have Hitler! Ah, Baruch Hashem, Menuchas HaNefesh. How exactly did the Basura that she's going to have a Hitler calm her down? You know what she thought? Says Alter Navardik. She thought she was going to have a wishy-washy kid. That when the friends want to go to the learning program, he goes to the learning program. And when the friends want to go to the movies, goes to the movies. A wishy-washy person will never be anything. But then they told her good news. You're going to have the God of Adar, and you're going to have a Rosha Marusha. Oh, Givaldik! Because a Rosha Marusha could be something someday. But a wishy-washy person is just blows with the wind. Anyway, just no extra charge. That's just a side point. So says Chassam Sofer, Apikar says, why does it say Amalek's mother in the Torah? So we say, obviously it's for a very important reason. Because the Torah doesn't say Avraham's mother. And you would think we would need to know who Avraham's mother was. So apparently whatever the Torah writes is for a very, very important reason. Because you see the Torah omitted very historic individuals and it doesn't even talk about them. So if it chose to speak about Amalek's mother, it must be for a very important reason. And then the Chassam Sofer gives us some more Kabbalistic information, again, for your do-it-at-home for attempts. And that is if you need to make an incantation, like you need to diffuse a witch. You know how it is, sometimes you're dealing with witches in the attic, or soothsayers, or necromancers. You know how it is in the Five Towns. You never know who you... And you need to diffuse them. So in order to diffuse them, you need to know their mother's name. So how are you going to diffuse Haman? Right? So we need to know... how are we going to diffuse Amalek? We need to know his mother's name. But we would never need to diffuse Avraham Avinu, so therefore the Torah doesn't say his mother's name. Okay, Rabbi, so this is all background.
We want to know, do they want to name maybe their kids after such a person?
Amasloi?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's on the top 10 list of...
A yenta is better?
Actually not. No. No. Okay.
Avram Avinu's mother is a choshev.
Ah, so speaking about Avram Avinu's mother. So this is really the opening, the Pesach, to tonight's subject. Who exactly is this woman, Amasloi Bas Karnavoy? So obviously the natural place to look would be the Arizal and Sefer Iyov, right? That would be the first place we would look. The commentary of the Arizal to Sefer Iyov, the Shar HaPsukim, it's also brought in the Arizal and Likutei Torah. And the Arizal starts off with a principle that is pretty well known, and that is when Adam ate from the first fruit, which was not an apple. Only Steve Jobs says it was an apple. But according to Chazal, it was either a chita, a te'ena, a gefen, an esrog. Fine. And he ate it. At that moment, the forces of evil, we'll call them the klipos, took hostage all the holy souls. And they will not release them. Unless they see that an avera is about to be done. So they figure, let's sully this soul forever. And we'll release the soul through the maisa avera so that the avera will contaminate the soul. And that's what happened with the soul of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu's soul was trapped by the dark side, like all the holy souls. And that's why Avram Avinu is called the Ger Tzedek, because he was literally had to convert from the dark side. And there was a man by the name of Terach. What did Terach do for a living? He sold idols. Yeah? When his wife, he would come home, his wife would say, Terach. Now, what was his wife's name? Amasloi. Amasloi said, Terachol, how is business? So Terach would say, thank God. That's what he would say, right? And Terach would sell idols. And he was an Oved Avodah Zarah, as she was. They were a couple of rishos. Yeah? Now, they did something worse. And that is Amasloi, says the Ari. The Ari's Magala was an Anida. And Terach lived with her when she was Anida. So the Arizal and the Mefarshe Ari ask, what do you mean all Gentiles are Anida? They don't go to the mikvah. You know, if maybe they know how nice it is, maybe they would start going, but they don't go. So what's this idea that Terach was living with his wife when she was Anida? Says Ari, but at least a Gentile wouldn't live with the woman while she's actively in her state of vest, menstruating. But Terach was not makbid. We see even Lavan was careful not to go near a woman who was Anida, even though he wasn't married to her. When Rachel said, you know, Derech Noshim Alai, so Lavan, Ramban says the Gentiles understood that Anida was considered contaminated. She gave off toxic fumes or something. That's what the Ramban writes. Okay, what that means exactly is beyond the scope. Again, this is not meant in any derogatory. I'm just telling you what was the practice of the Gentiles in the ancient world. Anyway, says the Ari, Terach lived with Amasloi when she was Anida. At that moment, the dark side said, this is a perfect moment to release the neshama of Avram Avinu. He will then be eternally contaminated, and we don't have to worry. But, says the Ari, the way this works is that there's a phenomenon in this world very often. A tzaddik will be a ben Rasha or a ben Amaretz. Why? Because otherwise the klipa will not release the holy soul. This is the concept of mi yitain tamei mitahar. By the way, this is not the Ari's invention. This is a medrash, the first medrash in Parshas Chukas. The Ramchal wrote a sefer on this. I believe it's called Megillas Sesarim. And this is an idea that is advanced and explained by the Ari. Mi yitain tahar mitame. That at times, the tzaddik will be born out of a maisa which appears to be rishus. So, Terach lived with Amasloi when Amasloi was actively Anida, and that's when Avram Avinu was born. So Terach needs tikkun, and Amasloi needs tikkun. Amazingly, the tikkun of Terach is Terach came back to this world in the guise of, he was reincarnated as Iyav. And all the Yisurei Iyav were because Terach lived with Amasloi as Anida. But Amasloi also needed tikkun, and she came back to this world. Amazingly, says as the Arizal, as Dina. Dina Bas Yaakov was the mother of Avram Avinu. Okay? Now, then, you see, I actually made a mistake at first, but she didn't come back again. Dina then married Eiv. Not she came back as Eishas Eiv. Dina married Eiv. Eov's wife was Dina. On the Ksuba it says, you know, the Habachar HaChosh of Eov, Basgila, Dina. Okay? Now, the way Amasloi got her tikkun was that she was then violated by Shechem as a Nida, and that violation actually was a tikkun. In other words, you were not Nizar to live with Terach when you were a Tahar, you were going to be violated as a Nida. Now, the Arizal says another rule. The rule is like this. It's an amazing diuk. It says about a nida that if a man will live with a nida, it says in Vayikra Perek Tezvav Pasuk Chav Dalet. By the way, this shir is not for a general audience. So if you need a Dvar Torah for Friday night, come to me later. I have a very nice verdlach. This is, you know, anyone. This is for a mature audience. They're saying, you know, avoid this subject at the Shabbos Suda. What did the Rav speak about? Last week he spoke about, what did we speak about last week?
Noach.
What? Noach. What did we speak about? Oh, about Shabbos. Goyshe Shabbos Chayim Misa. Bereishis was also good shir. You could go to reruns of Lech Lecha, but I'm just pointing that out. So, fine. The Pasuk says in Vayikra that somebody who's boil a nida, v'tehi nidasa alav. Literally, if she's a nida, but the Arizal is medayik, and we're going to see the Chida quotes this in no less than 7 different places. V'tehi nidasa alav, that when a man is over the chayve krisus of nida, he sucks out of the woman her tumas nida, and he cleanses her from it. That's the diuk of the Arizal. V'tehi nidasa alav, the nidus then goes on him. So, for her living with Terach when she was a Nida, the tikkun was she was violated by Shechem. Shechem then cleansed her of her Tumah, and now she's eligible to marry Eov. Now, Eov suffers. Why does Eov suffer? Because Terach lived with Amasloi as a Nida. And the Arizal added, he also lived with her against her will. That was another chiddush of the Ari. So therefore, he needs tikkun. Now, the Zayar says the punishment of somebody who lives with Anida is you get Saras. And therefore, Eov had Shechin, he had Saras. But she didn't suffer because she's already Niskan through Shechem. Okay? That's Arizal. The Arizal and Sefer Eov. Okay? Mi lanu gado me'ari. Who else could reveal this to us other than the Arizal? This is what the Arizal writes in a number of places. Kam zechida maran ga'oin uzenu Reb Chaim Yosef David Azulai. One of my favorite all-time Gedolim, he writes this in no less than 7 places. In the Midbar Kedemois, in Mareches Tav, he brings down the Ari Bekitzer, that Avram Avinu's mother lived with Terach Benidasa, therefore he had to come back as a Gilgal of Eov, she came back as Dina, she was cleansed by Shechem, but to he, Nidasa, Olav, she was cleansed by him, her Tumah went to Shechem. Says the Chidah and the Dvash Lefi. You know where the name Dina comes from? Nida. It's beautiful as long as you don't know anyone with that name. Right? That's where it comes from. But Mestama means it had a tikkun, meaning the rearrangement of the Oisiois means that L'chair also the letter Yud. The letter Yud, somehow, the letter Yud represents a Kadosh Baruch Hu, represents Olam Haba. Somehow the letter Yud probably contributed to the Tikkun. That's what the Chida adds in the Dvash Lefi. Okay. Now this is where the Shir came from. This everything I said now is working backwards. The Chida in the Sefer Choy Masanach says, and when I started being Mavra Sedra on Sunday, this was my first question. Of all places in Eretz Yisrael where Avraham Avinu wants to go, his first stop is Shechem. Why is his first stop Shechem?
He didn't know where he was.
I mean, he got lost. Not a safe place to get lost.
He didn't know where.
You know, you come. Imagine you get off the plane, and an hour later you fall asleep on the bus. Yeah, where am I? You're in Nablus, pal. Yeah, not a good idea.
He didn't know where Eretz Yisrael. So,
Reb Sender, when you go on a trip, who's the first person you need to think about? Your mother. You always have to think about your mother. So says the Choy Masanach, says the Chida. Avram Avinu, he realizes his roots. He realizes where he comes from. He comes from Terach. He comes from Amasloi bas karnavai. He knows she needs tikkun. So the first stop in Eretz Yisrael, he goes ad mekayim Shechem. To do what? To daven for his mama. The first thing on everyone's mind has to always be my mother. What could I do for my mom? That's very nice, right? You thought we're going with all this Kabbalah stuff. That's a nice lesson. You go somewhere, you always have, your mother has to be first and foremost on your mind. The first place that Avram Avinu, now, you know, just say the punchline here. Don't go through all the background. Just say, we learned from this week's parasha that the first, without, okay. That says the Chida, that's why Avram Avinu went to Shechem, because he was mespalel that his mother should have tikkun. Says the Chida, the gematria of Ad Mekoyim Shechem is 620, is the same gematria as Lesakein Aim, to fix the mother. That's the Chida. Says the Chida in Parashas Miketz. So Avram Avinu, he's mespalel, and ultimately Amasai has a tikkun. Through who? Through Dina. How? Shechem violated her. Out of Shechem and Dina, they have a little medulla. What's her name? Osnas. What kind of name is Osnas? Osnas, says the Chida, is Rashi Tevois. Amasloi sige nidasa tikna. Amasloi fixed whatever impurities of Nida she had in her. That's the Chida and the Chayim HaSanach, Parashas Niketz. There's something called Masechta Soifrim. The Chida Masechta Soifrim wrote a Perush on Masechta Soifrim called Kisei Rachamim. And the Chida is very busy with this teaching of the Ari, that Amasloi Bas Karnavai need a tikkun for living with Terach as a Nida. And he says this teaching of the Ari answers up many, many questionable stories in the Chumash. For example, most notably, V'Yakov Shama Ki Timei Es Dina Bita. Yaakov heard that Dina was violated. Uvanav Hayos Mekneo Basada, and the kids were with the cattle. What was Yaakov Avinu's reaction? Outrage? Pain? Tsar? Worry? Distress? No, nothing. The Hechrishla. He's quiet. What does the Gemara say? Shtika Kahida. Why is Yaakov Avinu so calm about what happened to Dina? Furthermore, asked the Chida and the Kisei Rachamim, how could such a thing happen to Dina? Such a tzaddik as Dina? How could such a thing happen to her? Says the Chida, Yaakov was quiet because Yaakov knew it had to happen. It had to happen for her, the tikkun of his great-grandmother, Amasloi Bas Karnavai. So Yaakov didn't react. And he waited till the Shvatim came home and he told them. And the only reason the Shvatim were angry is because the Shvatim said he could have done it in a nicer way. There are nicer ways, lasakein aim. You know, he could have figured out a better way to do this. That's the Chida. You know, the Peleoyetz wrote a sefer on Chumash called Elef Hamogen. Elef Hamogen has a very interesting diuk in a nuance in the Pasuk. By the episode of Dina, it says, Vateitse Dina, Basleya, Ashar Yolda Yaakov, which we typically read, Dina went out, the daughter of Leah, that she was born to Yaakov. But it could also be translated very literally, Dina went out, Ashar Yolda Yaakov. She gave birth to Yaakov. Dina gave birth to Yaakov. Dina gave birth to Yaakov. Says the Peleoyetz, yeah. Dina gave birth to Yaakov. Dina is the great-grandmother of Yaakov, because Dina is Amasloi Bas Karnavai. So, through this tradition from the Arizal, in fact, Dina gave birth to Yaakov. And then there's another interesting Kabbalistic tradition about Amasloi Bas Karnavai, and this comes from the Ramami Pano. So the Gemara says in Gittin, on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara says, a story about a woman and her seven sons that I think many people say, oh, it's Chana v'shiva baneha, but I don't think it was Chana. It was Isha v'shiva baneha. And this woman, the Caesar wanted the seven sons to bow down to him. So the first one was Moser Nefesh HaKadosh Hashem, and the second one wouldn't bow down, and the third one wouldn't bow down. And finally, it came the seventh son. And the seventh son said, you're kidding me? You think I would bow down? I swear to God, I'll never exchange God for any other God. God swore to me, He'll never exchange Israel. So the Caesar said, you know what, look, this is what we'll do. Here's the plan. I'll take off my signet ring, I'll drop it on the floor, you're going to pick it up, you'll make believe it will look like you're mekabel my sovereignty, and then we'll call it a day, and well, it's a win-win situation. So the little kid said, Chaval alecha, Kesar, you're so worried about your honor, alachas kama v'kama, we have to worry about the honor of Kutcher Brichu. So the mother says, could I just have my child for one more moment? She kisses the child and she tells the child, when you go upstairs, go to Avram Avinu, you say to him, you only brought one child on the Mizbeach. I brought seven children on the Mizbeach. Whereupon she jumps off the roof and Abascal cries out, Aim Habonim Semecha. Says Ramami Pano, who is this woman who gave up seven children on Kiddush Hashem? Amasloi bas karnavai. She came back because in her first lifetime she agreed to throw Avram into the fire, that he should die, not al kiddush Hashem. She was oivid avodah zarah. So now she comes back and she says, "Okay, sorry, go tell Avraham I got it right this time." It's nice, right? Alvin likes it. Okay. So let's just end with, I think, you know, if you ever looked, again, for you do it at home, Mikubalim out there, if you ever looked at any Kameya, one of the main names on the Kameyas is Amasloi Bas Karnavai, is like, that's like king. If you, anyone out there writing a Kameya, if you want to make it look authentic, you have to have Amasloi Bas Karnavai in there. That's key. Otherwise, you don't know, you know, you're not, then you're for sure amateur Mekubal. So Amasloi Bas Karnavai is a key Kabbalistic name. In fact, in the Pachad Yitzchak, and this you should remember, Pachad Yitzchak is written by one of the Kadmoinim, one of the Italian Mekubalim, not Mekubalim, one of the Italian Gedoilim, who wrote the first encyclopedia of Lomdus. It's called Pachad Yitzchak, not to be confused with Rav Hutner. Pachad Yitzchak was written by Rav Yitzchak Lamprunti. He wrote it without any computers. He says, he found in an ancient document that if you say, if you're in trouble with the government, yeah? If you want to find favor in the eyes of the government, you have a chves, you forgot to put a quarter in the meter on Central Avenue. That's the worst thing that should ever happen to somebody, yeah? It's a bracha, that's a good bracha, yeah? And you want to find favor, be'inei ha-shiltoin, say three times, amasloi bas karnavai, amasloi bas karnavai, amasloi bas karnavai. They're going to say, what? Well, we, you know, the machine was broken or something. Okay. The Chida writes in the Delash Lafi that if you're standing before the Sar or the Shultain and you want to get off the hook, then say, Toiv Pa'amim, 17 times. Amasloi Bas Karnavai. Amasloi Bas, come on, let's do it. Okay? 17 times. In fact, if you ever saw, the Chida is a wondrous sefer. It's called Avodas HaKodesh, which is basically a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And in the back of it, he has different kontrasim. One of the kontrasim are Kaf HaChayim. Excuse me. It's called Kaf Achas. So the Chida also writes different skulas there. He says a skula to get off the hook, Lefnei HaShultan, is you say, Amasloi Bas Karnavai Tes Vav Vez Pa'amim. And then he brings from the Ramban, you should say, Migdal Oiz Shem Hashem Boy Yarotz. Okay, and for further skulais, you could see the Chida Sefer Kaf Achas. So interesting, I saw in the biography of the Kloisenberger Rebbe, there was a testimonial by a Holocaust survivor. His name was Eliezer Steisel. And he says, when the Hungarians came and they took us away to labor camps, I went to the Rebbe for a bracha that I should survive the war. So the Rebbe told me, Im shloish ele yas, if you do the following three things, then yishmarcha alekim v'tinatza, you'll be saved. The Rebbe said, always be careful to wear a yarmulke. Always be careful to have your head covered. I guess that means, you know, maybe even when you're sleeping. By the way, do you have to wear a yarmulke when you're sleeping? You don't have to. It's not required lahalach. It's milsa de chasidus. It's a saintly practice. It's a nice thing to do. It's a good thing to do, but it's not absolutely required. But I guess the Rebbe told him be extra careful. Uvenatilas yadayim, should always be careful that you have water. Now this is something you see. People make, I don't know where they get this from, that they're in a park So they have to wash until Sidaim. So what do? They hold the sandwich on the silver foil. Really? There's no such thing. There's no such thing. Torah zu loy tehei machlefes. When God gave us the Torah in Har Sinai, that's not part of the Torah. That's not one of the halachas. Holding the silver foil. You wash your hands. There's something called netil sidaim. So people then say, okay, I'll use a plastic cup. Mehechi tesi, you could use a plastic cup. It's a disposable cup. Chachili, you have to use a real cup. So then people say, I'll use two cups. Chacham from the Manashtana, what do you mean two cups? What do two cups do? If one plastic cup don't do nothing, so how does taking zero plus zero is oichet zero? It's not oiska halten lahalacha that you could use two plastic cups. So what do? You bring a cup with you. And you follow the Shulchan. No, I forgot to bring a cup. So go to the gift shop and buy a cup for $5. What's the big deal? The Shulchan Aruch gives a havtacha that being nizar and netil sidayim is a shmira for parnasa. At the very least, you'll make at least another $5 that year. That I think we could guarantee that you. Al netil sidayim is gematria ani, is Rosh Tevis ani. Shulchan Aruch says, it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. So you have to be careful on netil sidayim. Also by Kiddush. Where does it come from? You can make Kiddush on a plastic cup. If you live in Biafra, or in Africa, or in a third world country, where there are no cups. So maybe you can make Kiddush on a plastic cup. We live in the United States of America. You have more than enough kaisos in your house. You don't even know what to do with all the kaisos in your house. You go to a Kiddush, you make Kiddush on a normal cup. So I don't have a cup. So do you have to eat? If you want to eat, make sure you have a kais. Disposable is bidyeved at the best. Anyway. And the third thing, the Kloisenberger Rebbe said, cover your head. Netil Sidayim. And say the following three things. Yavoi ha-melech ve-hamon ha-yoyim, Rosh Yitevus Yudkei. Say, alakad meir anini, and say, amasloi bas karnava. If you do these three things, then yishmarcha elekim v'tinatzel. God will save you. And he says, kachava. So this is definitely as part of five things. In other words, if you're in a bad matzav and you're careful to cover your head and you're careful to wash until sidayim and you say Yavai Melech V'Haman Hayom and you say Alekad Mer Aneni, there is evidence that Masloi Bas Karnavai is also a contributing factor. Anyway, so what exactly is the skula of Masloi Bas Karnavai? That's anybody's guess. There's an interesting sefer by Rav Naftali Chaim Gutman called Perushim Nechmadim. And he says that, I'm sure you figured this out already, Amasloi Bas Karnavai is Gematria 1162. And now, Amasloi Bas Karnavai gave birth to the head of our people, the Roish Avos Olam. The Gematria of He, Hailida, Leroish, Avos Olam is 1,162. The same Gematria as Amasloi Bas Karnavai, obviously. Yeah, I knew you figured that one out already. And she gave birth to Avram Avinu, who was what? Tzadik Katamar Yifrach, is also 1,162. And what kind of situation was Avraham born? They wanted to throw him, you know, into the fire as soon as he was born. Avraham Avinu was Umei Ashpois Yorim Evyoin, 1,162. So he goes to Eretz Yisrael. What was he mispala in Eretz Yisrael? Asei Leman Yerushalayim, which is 1,162. And what else did he say? He said, Uvnei Oysa Bekarov Biyamenu Binyan Oilam, which is Gematria Amasloi Bas Karnavai. So, what exactly the skula is, I don't know, but certainly it's brought in many sources, including the Chidah, in a number of places, that it has a certain power. One of the Perushim on the Arizal says, you know, it's not an interesting halacha, a lamdus. Let's say a person comes, and their wife says, you know, I'm tummy! And an hour later, she said, no, just joking. You know, she's tummy. She said she's tummy. Unless she could give a what? An amasla, an excuse why she... I only said it because you didn't take out the garbage. But it was just an excuse. An amasla. It's a din. If you give an excuse, then it takes off the shavi nafshi chaticha de yisura. So some of the Perushim and Ari says the name Amasloi comes from the word Amasla. She was the excuse to bring Avram Avinu into the world. In other words, like we said, they didn't want to release his neshama until they saw something that seemed like a Davar Isser. And that was the excuse to it. So sometimes you're in a tough matzav and you need an Amasla, you need a good excuse to get out of it. That excuse might be Amasloi Bas Karneva. But these are some of the behind the scenes of an individual who the Torah does not mention. And the Gemara Bavasra says her name was Amasloi Bas Karnevoi. And maybe this is the tshuva to the minim. In other words, when you're in trouble with the minim and you need a tshuva, her name saves the day. But the bottom line is, she comes back as Dina Bas Yaakov. Her tikkun was when Shechem violated her. And the Ari and the Chidah says, this fulfilled the concept of Tehini Dasei Olav. It's interesting. The Chidah's Medayik in the Kisei Rachamim, Yaakov heard, Kishama, what did Yaakov hear? Kishama, Kitime Es Dina. Yaakov heard the people saying that he violated her. But says the Chidah, the Diyuk is, that's what he heard they were saying, he violated her. But according to the Ariyu, Tehini Das Olav, at the end of the day, she was Metame him. That's what really happened. Anyway, Rabbi Yisai, these are some of Neflois Mitarsenu Akdoisha. Thank you everyone for coming. Have a great evening. Shkayach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.